Simone Smith, and with me is Jason Manayan, and this is another episode of Weekly Advice from Everyday Experts, a podcast put on by hubpages.com, where we discuss really cool articles that were written on our site by various authors. Today, I think I just want to start by asking Jason a question.
Sure.
Have you ever been nervous about flying?
The first flight I ever took was, I was 11 months old, I have never been one to be afraid of flying, actually, so no, I don't think so, although reading these hubs here put a lot of seeds of doubt in my mind, so not yet, I would say.
Yeah, we actually are discussing two hubs today. They are both about danger and in flying. And while I don't think I really am afraid of flying either, it's true that now I'm maybe a little bit more cautious.
You fly a lot though, actually, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And you do too. I mean, you've been all over the world and I've been to a couple of places myself. And I can't say that I've never experienced any problems. Mm. But I haven't experienced half of the things, or been to many of the airports, actually, that we're going to discuss. So the two hubs or articles on Hub Pages that we're talking about today are, well, one is titled The 13 Most Dangerous Airports in the World. So obviously we're going to have, you know, some danger there. And the other hub is, why do airlines have such stupid rules at the airport and on their airplanes, which was written by Big Sean R., who actually worked in the airline, or actually still works in the airline industry for, and has been for 13 years. So, and Mel Bell, who wrote the 13 Most Dangerous Airports in the World article, is a really great traveler and has written some amazing articles on all sorts of places in the world. So both of these people know what they're talking about, and I think that Jason and I can say that we also know what we're talking about, since we've traveled a lot. Uh-huh. Well, Jason's lived abroad.
Although I've never been to any of these airports, and actually, having read Mel Bell's hub, I kind of don't want to either.
Yeah, I've only been to one, and there was no trouble there, so I just feel pretty lucky. But let's actually talk about these airports, because I think they're really cool, and it's a fun way to start. And then we'll tell you about the airline safety rules and stupid rules, and you can feel better about why sometimes you lose your dignity at airports, because obviously some of them are very dangerous. So, Jason, what's the number one most dangerous airport in the world?
The most dangerous one is the Princess Juliana International Airport in Sint Maarten. It's one of the Dutch Antilles islands. And I guess what makes it so dangerous is it's a very small island. It's on the beach, and the airport is actually very close to the beach. And because it's so close to this very popular touristy beach, apparently just jet blasts can knock people into the water.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I don't know if you've seen Jackass 3D. Have you seen that movie?
No, but I want to.
There's a pretty funny scene of the people trying to like stand still as they're standing right behind, you know, a jet
blast.
Did
they go to this airport? Oh, no, they were like, no. They just went to a plane.
Maybe they were inspired by it. I don't know. After I read that, it's
so
like,
I want to go to this place, though.
Yeah.
I want to get knocked over by a jet blast.
Yeah, if you're worried about the water being a little cold, this might be the push you need to get in.
Right? I mean, I don't imagine that many people are taken by surprise, but I just love the visual of someone walking along a beach, you know, just smiling, and then like, wham, this jet takes off and they get blown into the water. There's actually a really funny sign. If you go to the article, Mel Bell included a sign that is right next to the airport in her hub. And it has the most funny, you know, like most caution images are pretty tame, you know, like this, you know, figure falling over. But in this caution image, there's the plane and then these little, you know, jet signs. And then you can see this person being flung into the water. I just love really, really funny warning signs.
Yeah. You got to be visual like that in case you have illiterate people on the beach. I mean,
yeah.
That's the risk here.
Either the plane is like peeing or
farting.
Yeah, there could be some sort of airway. Mm-hmm. So the second most dangerous airport listed in Melbel's list of 13 deadly airports is called, and I'm probably going to really flub this, but Congonhas? Congonhas, you say?
I'm guessing, I don't know.
It's also known as Sao Paulo Airport, so I'm going to go with that. And what makes this airport dangerous doesn't sound too bad to me. It's just some rainwater problems. So a lot of planes have been slipping around on the runways. And one thing that they did to try to solve that issue, so it's not as bad as it used to be if you're about to land there, is they put some more grooves into the runway. So it's a little bit less slippery. But
less hydroplaning, huh?
Literal hydroplaning. Yeah. I always thought about hydroplaning as an airplane thing.
Right.
But in this case,
it really is, literally. It's a little pun.
Yeah, I love it. And apparently, because so many people live in the area, there's also a reduced number of flights that can come in. So it's really impacted as it is, and they actually might need to build another airport. So that one's kind of lame. I don't know.
Tell us about number three, though.
Oh, this one. Yeah, this one is really, really, really cool because the foot of it ends at a beach. So if you aren't taking off correctly,
you're gonna crash it.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And I mean, I think that this one is pretty cool because there's less talk about like fences around it. So pedestrians on the beach get to see, I think, planes taking off more properly.
Like
I don't
right
know.
Above them.
Yeah, and I mean, I just love to lie on a beach and watch planes take off. I have a lot of friends who grew up going to airports for fun, or just areas outside them, and just lying on a picnic blanket all afternoon and identifying the planes. And this one seems like a much more bucolic way to do that, because you're on this beach and it's really pretty. And
yeah.
And maybe you'll get blown into the water. Oh, noise, schmoise.
Yeah, noise.
So okay. The next one.
Next one. This one I really liked because it's the Barra Airport. It's on the Scottish island of Barra. And what I really like about it is that it's very, very rustic.
rustic. You use that word well.
Euphemistically. it's on a sandy, it uses the sandy, a sandy beach as the runway.
Yeah, I think it's the only airport that has a runway that is a beach.
Literally a beach. And the best part of it is that the runways are unusable during high tide. That's right. They are literally underwater. So they have to wait until low tide before flights can take off or land there.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I mean, most airports really have time constraints, but not because there's water all over.
And speaking of time constraints.
Oh, yeah.
So at this airport, they don't really have an excellent lighting system. So if flights do come in at night, apparently it's pretty rare, they have to get a bunch of cars to turn their headlights on to light up the runway.
You can just imagine the phone tree that's associated with that. Like, hey, Bill, can you please drive over here and turn your headlights on? We've got a plane coming in.
You're not speaking with a Scottish brogue, though.
Oh, my gosh, I can't. That's my old person either. Accent.
Okay.
Because, of course, all Scottish people are old.
And speak with a Southern accent.
Yes! Yeah. So, the next one is the Gibraltar Airport, which I didn't realize, but is actually the most dangerous airport in Europe, because apparently there's not a whole lot of space on Gibraltar, which is totally
fair. Other
than
the big rock.
Oh, so. Yeah. Just one big rock. And because this rock is just a rock, really, the airport actually intersects one of the busiest streets on that rock. And so whenever a plane comes in, they have to shut it down. And it reminds me of like a drawbridge, but in some weird inverted way because, mm-hmm. I don't know.
This main thoroughfare has to be shut off when flights come in.
Yeah, and that's crazy. It used to be like a rarely used airport, but now it's privately owned. And it's used for cargo and tourists. So if you're going to Gibraltar, hopefully you'll get to go on this one. Yay!
You'll just anger the natives when you give them a whole bunch of more traffic to deal with.
Yeah. Ooh, the next one's really good.
Yes, please tell us about that.
Yeah, I want to talk about this one because it's actually my favorite. When I saw the title for this article on HubPages, I knew that this would be on it. It's the Tenzing Hillary Airport. Before that, it was known as the Lugla Airport in Nepal, but of course, it's right by Everest, so it was named after the famous people to scale it. But the crazy thing about this airport is that it's not really an airport so much as it's just a cliff. And like the way that planes take off of it is they get wheeled up to this very steep slope, and then they just kind of wheel down and like pick up speed, and then they take off. And then they don't actually really take off. They more like fall off the cliff and then hope that the updraft takes them the rest of the way up.
This is kind of like a ski jump for
planes. Yes, that's totally what it is. And I actually have some friends who did the whole Everest base camp hike thing, and they had to come in on this airport. And I think landing was safe enough, although actually, I shouldn't say that. The most recent crash was from a plane landing. Everyone survived, but it was in 2010, so this happens a lot. But yeah, they were okay landing, but it was the takeoff that really got them, because not only did they realize they had a new driver, which was a very interesting experience, but when you take off, you actually feel the dip as your plane falls off the cliff, and then you start to pick up again. So there's this like everyone
roller
kind
coaster
of,
kind of feel.
Yeah, yeah. And once like they caught the updraft, everyone on the plane was just like heaved this huge sigh of relief. But the thing is, like, another huge danger at this airport is winds and cloud, because I mean they're way, way, way up. This is a super high altitude airport. And my friends who were taking off of it actually were delayed for 3 days because the cloud cover was so thick. Mm. So not only were they relieved to not have crashed, they were just relieved to get off the mountain. So just keep that in mind, like if you are really big on going to Everest, and I don't get why you'd want to do that, because apparently the food isn't that great either. A lot of yak butter and yak butter. And yak butter.
And yank. Yak.
Yeah, and garlic.
Products.
Yeah, yak butter and garlic. But yeah, just keep that in mind. You might have to be delayed or die.
So, and the next one is the Kansai International Airport. It's in Japan.
Yes, this is the one that I've been to.
Oh, tell us about it then.
Well, it's basically on an artificial island that's in Osaka Bay. And the only real danger with this one, I think it's a more statistical thing that makes it prominent in this list, because this is a huge airport, a lot of flights coming in and out every day. But as we well know, Japan as a general country is at higher risk of experiencing earthquakes, tsunamis, and cyclones. And I can say I haven't spent tons of time in Japan, maybe like a total of 3 or 4 months, and in that time I've experienced several earthquakes, one cyclone, no tsunamis, but I mean, there are a lot of them. So yeah, wow. This airport is a little bit risky. And chances are, if you're going to end up at one, you'll probably end up at this one, since it's one of the larger ones that's listed here.
Mm-hmm. And what about the Huancho Urau Skiing Airport?
God, you're also way better at pronouncing things than
I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah, but you make it sound so much more convincing than I do.
I'm just faking it.
I'm like the Huancho E. Raskin. Yeah. No. Well, I mean, this is another one that's very similar to the one in Nepal, where it's extremely short and it ends in a cliff. And it's on a very small island. So obviously they don't have a lot of space, but you actually have to sign a waiver before you can land here, just because it's so dangerous.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
And what about the Madeira International Airport?
Another one with a really short runway. But the cool thing about it is that because the runway was so short and it's not cool that resulted in a crash, but because it ends in a cliff, they actually had to build an extension off the end of it and used like pillars to just sort of construct this big runway that
So it's basically like a pier going?
Yeah, it's a pier, wonderful. But off a cliff into nothingness.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not big on the cliff. I mean, I'm cool with pretty much a slippery airport or one that's prone to earthquakes. Wet, that's fine. But the cliff thing really...
That's a little creepy.
Yeah, I don't know if
that's
I
the kind of sensation you only want to experience when you're on a roller coaster, or you're strapped in.
Yeah, when you're asking for it.
Yeah,
when you're not when you're it. Hoping that you won't die.
Yeah.
So we're making it up to, I think, number 10 now,
mm-hmm.
Which is another one of the slope-based cliff airports. It's called the... Courcheval Airport, does that sound? It's
Courcheval,
in France.
Yeah.
I can't speak French, so. But again, it's just in the French Alps, and we have that situation of please avoid airports when there are cliffs involved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the next one's
the
fun,
next
though.
One is really cool. It's another one of these kind of temporarily not open due to climactic conditions.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's called the Ice Runway. Guess why? Made of ice.
Yeah. It's made of ice, and it's in Antarctica. It's at the McMurdo Station in Antarctica, and it because it's actually made of ice, it only exists when there's ice. So during those warmer months in, I guess, the summer, the airport disappears. Literally, it melts away.
It melts away. And the funny thing is that every time an airplane lands, they measure it with lasers, and when it sinks more than 10 inches, they have to move it. Which just it just cracks me up.
At least they got technology helping them out.
Yes, lasers.
Yes.
They're the answer to everything.
Yeah, to sinking airports.
Yes. Who would have thought? But there you go.
Maybe those lasers can help the Leaning Tower of Pisa too.
I'm sure they can.
Somehow.
They're just leaving it like that on purpose because the tourists come to it, stand next to it leaning.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh dear.
And speaking of ice, the number 12 on our list.
Yeah, the Svalbard Airport in Longyear, which I think is... So this is definitely another trend in the dangerous airports thing, is that they're built on top of ice or water.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because this one's built... It's not on ice totally. It's actually built on permafrost. But that means that because of our dear friend global warming, which, by the way, actually does exist... Big
really?
Shocker.
No.
Big shocker. It's going to melt away. So it's
the ground will get a little slushy.
Yeah, the ground will get slushy. Actually, hangars in this airport are built with like huge ice pillars and to affix them to the ground. So, I mean, the airport is kind of constructed using ice and is going to literally start to turn to slush, which is both gross and... Just too bad,
yeah. People will have to take ships back to Longyear. Longyear,
yeah.
Is this in Greenland? Where is this? Where is Longyear?
I don't remember.
In fact, I don't think I've known anyone who's ever gone to Longyear.
Look, I mean, if there's permafrost there,
pole,
though,
right?
If there is permafrost, I will not go there.
Yeah.
So it doesn't even matter to me. I mean, like, this place, I'm sorry for all of those of you who may live there, but I'm just... It's
something tells me there's no internet access in Longyear. Something tells me.
Yeah.
And the final one, the Don Mueang International Airport.
Yeah, it's in Bangkok, Thailand.
And I have to tell you, the nicest airports I've ever been to in my life were both in Thailand. The Bangkok airport is phenomenal, and the one in Koh Samui, which is an island. Absolutely gorgeous airports. I mean,
really?
You walk
like
in,
architecture?
Architecture. The Bangkok one has beautiful architecture. It looks, you feel like you're in a modern castle.
Wow.
And the one in Koh Samui, which is a small little island, actually had like an enormous tropical fish tank in the men's bathroom.
Whoa!
So, I mean, as you can imagine.
Man.
Yeah, so.
That's awesome. Okay, that takes the cake.
Yeah, so I was kind of surprised to see a Thai airport here, but I guess not all of them are as nice as the ones that I was lucky to travel to.
Well, here's the funny thing, though. There's actually nothing particularly unique about this airport, aside from the fact that there's a golf course in between two of the runways. The funny thing about it is just happens to have an unusually large number of crashes, which...
It's cursed, in other words.
Yeah, basically,
okay.
It's just cursed. This is the secret thing behind it. But, I mean, this really goes to show that so much of the things that, will make an airport, quote-unquote, dangerous have to do with statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, anything can mess with that. But statistically
witchcraft,
speaking... Of,
curses.
Of course,
yeah.
Witches.
Yeah, that's my guess.
That's why there's a direct correlation between the end of witch burnings and the beginning of airplane crashes.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's totally,
yeah.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
When they stopped weighing them to see if they weighed more than a bar of soap, or what was that? What was the rule?
It was the seeing if they would sink. Oh, or no, right. Weighed more than a duck.
Okay, there we go.
There, yeah.
I'm getting my history and Monty Python sketches mixed up at this point.
Well, we've just lost that important piece of cultural heritage, which has resulted in this kind of thing. But honestly, it's a statistics game, and if you really want to do something dangerous, don't worry about getting on a plane. Just get into your car.
That's true.
That's all we have to say. But a lot of people forget that there are real dangers that are associated with flying in airplanes, and so they tend to ignore a lot of the seemingly inane regulations at airports. So that's why we wanted to discuss this other article or hub on HubPages called "Why Do Airlines Have Such Stupid Rules at the Airport and on Their Airplanes?" by Big Sean R. Just because, I mean, I love breaking airport and airplane rules, not really because I want to blow things up, but because I mean, we all just want to stick it to them because we hate going to airports.
Right. And some of the rules do seem really, like, arbitrary and pointless.
Yeah.
But apparently, Big Sean R has done a great job of explaining why some of these seemingly pointless rules really do exist. I mean, they really are for our safety.
Yeah, and he knows because he's traveled a lot and he's worked in the industry for a long time. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go over a couple of them just because I think they're some of the most prominent ones that I thought were lame, but apparently you're not.
Right.
So the one that really blew my mind, because I've always wondered about this and really thought it was just the stewardesses and stewards like sticking it to us, but the reason why you're supposed to have your window shields up, your shades up when the plane is taxiing, taking off, and landing is because you need to be able to see out of your window if there's a fire on your side of the plane. And I never thought about that. As it happens, fire is one of the huge dangers that are associated with crash landings. Like, that's the thing that'll get you. And one of the big issues is that people don't realize that there's a fire on their side of the plane, and they get really gung-ho about going down those really cool-looking slides, which I've always wanted to slide right. down. Oh, my gosh. And so they just slide
safer
right
into
it.
Safer to do it at a water park, though.
Safe? Well, yes, because when you do it out of an airplane, like, chances are you might do it into a big puddle of fire.
Right.
Which is why you should keep your shade up. So, myth busted. That yep. one's for real.
I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Another thing is, do you want to talk about the staying seated? Like, why should sure. people stay seated when the plane is taxiing?
Yeah, so you always see that. I mean, especially when planes land, the plane is slowly taxiing back to the gate, and people will, you know, get out of their seats to get stuff out of the overhead compartments, and of course we'll get shushed by the flight attendants yep. and screamed at, sit back down. And again, it seems kind of arbitrary, like, what's the big deal? We're on land now. What's the big deal? And apparently the big issue is that some planes, even a 300-pound shift inside can, I guess, rattle things up a little bit, and people can get hurt on the ground, and things within the cabin can get toppled around. So it's hard to imagine just, you know, one very heavy person or two getting up out of their seats can do this, but this is apparently what can happen. And also, the other really important thing is that, you know, while the plane is taxiing, it may seem like it's just steadily plodding along. The captain could pull the brake all of a sudden.
He totally could. Only he knows when the plane is going to stop. I mean, what right. if a kitten runs across the
exactly.
runway?
Exactly. You know,
he's not going to run over the kitten.
No, exactly.
So, geez, people, sit down.
Sit down and wait a couple more minutes.
It's so funny, though. You know, like, as soon as the seatbelt button goes off, people, like, spring up and, right. like, grab their bags. And then, I'm getting off this plane.
And then they wait for 15 more minutes.
Until, oh, yeah, and then everyone just stands up, hunched over, weighed down by their bags, mm-hmm. and I sit back in my chair and I think, suckers.
Yep, me too.
But that's just how it goes. There's always this, like, rage that comes with airport riding or airplane riding that doesn't mm-hmm. make sense. I think it's because we're treated like cows, but that's okay.
I think so, too.
So the whole portable electric devices thing has really been contentious, but according to Big Sean R., they can really have an effect on things going on with the pilots, especially when they're taking off and landing, because that's when communication is absolutely vital. So he pointed out one situation in which two wireless laptops, which were communicating via wireless, were actually affecting things like communication on the flight deck, which is pretty scary. So if you're still going to cheat, turn off your wireless at least, because I don't want to die.
Yeah. And realistically, in the course of an entire flight, I mean, the amount of time spent landing and taking off and taxiing is a tiny fraction.
Oh, totally minuscule. So,
and as long as they have Wi-Fi, once we hit that 10,000 level, I'm completely happy.
Yes, people, Jason got me started on airline carriers that provide wireless service, and it makes flying not painful anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't have to read those god-awful magazines in your seat pocket.
The catalogs.
The air mall thing. Not my cup of tea.
No. They're really bad. I'm getting hives just thinking about it. But so it goes. Mm-hmm. I mean, even that said, though, people will still get super angry if they've just missed the cutoff time for check-in. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like I'd be really glad if I missed a flight, but people are still totally freaked out about it. So one thing that Big Sean R points out is that the people who are checking you in actually can't check in your bags. They literally can't mm-hmm. check in your bags.
Shut them off.
Yeah, they won't be able to print out your special bag tags because you've missed your time cutoff. And that's because the TSA needs to have that amount of time to actually, poke through all of your underwear. Because, well, you know, you get the inspected.
Yes.
I always get those.
Oh, really?
Every single time.
I almost never check in things anymore.
I always check things because I need to have my dresses
okay.
and my parasols, which I travel with. But, you know, that's just how it goes.
I just need some clean underwear and I'm fine.
Yeah, well, pack a lot lighter than I do, but I can't help it. But, yeah, they need to have time to poke through your luggage, especially if you've been seen as a risk, as I have, because I was once thought to be carrying explosives in one of my bags because I thought it would be a really good idea to buy a bunch of really cute lighters and tape them together with a rubber band. And they look just like a bomb.
Oh, imagine that.
So don't do that, folks. And another thing, even though you can put lots of small containers of liquids in your bags, spending 3 weeks in different hotels and keeping all of the shampoo, conditioner, and soap, and then carrying that back in a carry-on bag full of all of that soap is not going to make any of the TSA agents trust you.
Exactly.
I learned that the hard way. So, don't do those things. And do follow the rules, because they're there for a reason, and especially if you're actually going to be landing or taking off from one of the world's 13 most dangerous airports, you should probably do everything you can to ensure that you don't die an untimely death. Mm-hmm. Unless you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, unless you get a death wish, I mean.
Yeah, and goodness knows we all do at some point or another.
Yeah.
So, if you want to read more about dangerous airports or really stupid but actually important airline rules, check out those two articles on hubpages.com. Also, check out the authors. The first one, the author of the Dangerous Airport article is Mel Bell. She's from Michigan. She's a great travel writer and just general writer on HubPages. So just search M-E-L-B-E-L on hubpages.com. And then the other author of the airline rules, again, is Big Sean R, one word.
And Sean, S-E-A-N.
Yes, S-E-A-N. So check them both out, because actually Big Sean R has only been on for 4 weeks, but he's already written some really great articles too. So yeah, and also one little reminder, if you'd like to write your own really cool travel guide or list of dangerous, deadly things, you should just join HubPages. It's really easy to do so, and it's fast, and it's free, and then you can maybe be talked about podcast and possibly earn money from the articles that you publish, because you get a cut of the ad revenue on everything you publish. So, safe flying, don't die, airplanes are actually really safe, cars are actually really dangerous, and